Your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Another great chapter here. And I may be delusional, but I think we're going to get through this chapter. But I'll be driven by the clock. I tell you that the Vacation Bible School flyers are out on the table in the fellowship hall. Get those, invite people, let's begin to take it personal, and let's begin to pursue children for the glory of God, that they would know the gospel. Our teachers know this. There will not be one night, by God's grace and my help. That's so terrible. I don't even know what that means. And I know Ron agrees with that. My wife agrees with that. There won't be one child that will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not in some just boring fashion, because the gospel is not boring, but they will know who Christ is, what he's done, how we can be saved. And they'll drill down into one particular element each night. It's going to be super exciting. You pray for the children. We need to pray. We don't have prayer again until June 28th here, collectively as a body. But we must be diligent. We need the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, let's read these 35 verses. They're just two columns in my Bible, but it's like, whoa, it deals with a whole bunch. Let me just tell you with the Proverbs. It's so good. It's if you have to teach the Bible, it's probably one of the easiest books to teach. And here's what you do. It's great with somebody else, ladies with ladies, men with men. And you just say, let's just open the book of Proverbs and let's just see what God has to say. Great, great book. Talk about the things of God and then say, am I doing that? Do I believe that? Is it impacting my life? Let's read Proverbs chapter 3. My son, remember, Solomon, through the inspiration of God, writes to his son, but it's applicable to all. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, and long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Two famous verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's one of the 99 verses. If it's multiple verses, it still only counts as one. Sorry, too bad. But you ought to memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 so that we follow it, but it'll also help you understand the folly of mankind. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow. Is it marrow or marrow? Marrow to marrow. We'll learn that. No, marrow. Okay, I got to remember that. So I've always said it wrong. Haven't I always said it wrong? I've said it wrong every time. I always ask that question. It is navel, right? Not navel? Okay, just, all right. Here we go. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow, not marrow. It's okay. That's how I'm going to memorize it, because it's not tomorrow, it's marrow, right? Right? All right, here we go. One more time. And so here's the good news. I don't need glasses. Amen? And I only have one eye. And verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening or correction of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her, unto wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace, the paths of wisdom. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Don't let these words, this wisdom, this information, God's word, in essence, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Simple title. I messed around with different titles. Just more benefits of wisdom, nor more benefits of wisdom. It's interesting. Didn't have any good doors tonight, but had an incredible illustration of Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. And it's really, you know, lean not unto thine own understanding. And it's critical, right? The first thing I want you to see here. Hold on. Yeah. All right, chief. I won't have a South Africa meltdown. Some of you heard that. All right, I'll let Todd get. First thought I want to have is just verse 1. Prioritize wisdom. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I want you to understand this. It is, I do love James chapter 1, verse 5. So let me see, Todd, if it works, if it was just the computer, or I think it's this. I think it's this, so thank you for that. Try it now. Oh, is it on? It's on, the best I can tell. Yeah, thank you. You guys can mess with it up there and can bring it down. So here's, I want you to understand this. It is, so James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally or generously. That's an awesome thing. We must ask for wisdom. But I never want you to forget this. I'm toying with my Father's Day message. And I just haven't really developed it in any way. But I think the whole theme of my Father's Day message is going to be diligence. We men need to be diligent. We men need to be driven by the cause of Christ. We men need to be driven. We need to be diligent. We need to be led by the love of Christ. We men need to be the kind of men that are diligent. When God says it, we will do it, and we will lead. Whether anybody follows or not, we're going to do it with gentleness, with love, with kindness. And then I'll share with you the scriptures about diligence. You can have some fun before that message as well. But I want you to understand this. You will not receive the benefits of wisdom if you are not diligent. Watch it all the time. I've seen Proverbs 1, right where it says, wisdom will laugh when your calamity cometh. We want to be here for you when you've decided and I've decided that we're smarter than God and I'm going to lean on my own understanding. I don't care what God says. I'm going to listen to the world. We'll be here and love you. But your circumstances probably won't change. You want to mess up your life? Don't listen to God. Smarter than God? Don't do what he says. I'm not saying this just coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night doesn't make you a great Christian, but I want to tell you this. I know of no great Christians that aren't committed to God and his way, and that's one of the simple things. You ever seen old men or old women, we don't have it, where they're like crawling in here as though it's the most important thing they could do? I love that testimony. They got that down a long time ago, and they said, I will be in the house of the Lord if I can. And there's so much more than Christianity. It's all about Christ. But they were diligent. They were committed to the ways of God. When they got something down that God said, they did it. But we question it. Is that what he meant? I don't think that's what he meant. Well, I think you're just a little bit too serious. Is it dead? No, it works. And so I think you're just a little bit too, high strung, Steve. You're just maybe, probably. Yes, I am. But that doesn't take away the truth of it, right? It's this. If You want the abundant life. It's in Christ. Christ is wisdom. It's knowing the Bible, doing what God says without compromise, without thinking. And I'm telling you, it is this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and that's what we need to lead. We men need to lead that. Our women need to lead that. And I love this. I know I'm speaking to the choir, but I'll tell you this. I'm speaking to the choir that there's some people in the choir going, I don't know about that over there. Right? 5 years from now, there'll be people that were sitting right here on this very Wednesday night. The devil deceived them, and they pursued the world. And all that'll come is destruction. Sometimes it'll take 10, 20, 30 years, but it's coming. We're not smarter than God. He designed us. He told us he created the world in wisdom. He told us that here in this passage as well. We must prioritize wisdom. You want all these benefits we're talking about? Then you've got to be a man or woman of diligence and say, by God's grace, I want to do what's right. There's a million directions pulling me away from God, but by God's grace, I'll do it. Major benefits of wisdom. Look at verse 2. Major benefits of wisdom. Just two simple ones. Kind of important. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Be good to live. Amen. I know if you're saved, the alternative is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. I talk about that gain a lot. But it's good to be alive. And it's good to have peace. Not turmoil. And the world is all uptight. I'm not uptight. I'm uptight. I need to be uptight about the right things, and that's the things of God. I don't need to be uptight about anything, really. But it's the world does that. So here's the major benefits. It's longer lives. Uh-oh. Here we go. Longer lives. Do I not have it yet? Let me see. Let me try that again. Oh, there we go. Longer lives and peace. Longer lives and peace. Just look at verse 2. It's this. God says this. If you will not forget his law, his instruction, his word, and you keep his commandments, length of days and peace will be added unto you. Again, remember, this is a proverb. Don't say God failed. God never fails. God never fails. But everybody wants peace. Everybody wants happiness. This chapter deals with happiness. The ways of God are the ways of peace. The ways of God are the ways of happiness. But we just don't think so. We want God part-time. The way we talk about it is, I should. I know I need to. We're missing it when we say those things because we don't want to. We just, I'm happy, Steve. Leave me alone. Might not work out too well for your kids, your grandkids. It's so intense. The guy I met tonight, I'll talk about him in just a second. Key to relationships. All right, well, anyway, I'll turn it off and on. It seems to work. That's the death of my... Okay, I'm not really good at... what do they call that? Taps. Thank you for that. Thank you. I just couldn't remember the name, but taps. I'm not good at taps. So that was an attempt at taps. It is key to relationships. So Todd will be up there, and I'll be like, paying attention? Key to relationships. Look at this, verse 3 and 4. He says... Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The key to relationships, mercy and truth. Isn't that what it says? Look at verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You know what? Did I put the Bible verses up there from Psalms? I don't know if I did. You know, I just remembered I didn't. And so, just listen to this. Mercy and truth. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Mercy and truth. I could have given you a lot of scriptures. I really don't have three. Listen to Psalm 86, 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Proverbs 16, 6. In fact, you're here. Just turn there. I've got two more in Proverbs. I just want you to see them. I think it's so good not only to hear things, I think it's good for you to see it in the Bible. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth are key to relationships because it says in verse 5, if we don't forsake mercy and truth, he said, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. God is not wanting us just to be difficult people and have issues with mankind. He would, and because we'd prefer to get along. But that should never get in the way of us doing what's right. Mercy and truth. Mercy, not getting what we deserve. Truth. It's that we share the truth in love. Listen to Proverbs 16:6. In fact, I had to turn there, right? Proverbs 16:6. Proverbs 16:6, look at this. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In mercy and truth, it's we will be forgiven. We will be forgiving people. We will let things go. Bitterness will not be part of our lives. We won't talk about people. There's nothing we can talk about. There's nobody that has wronged us that will bother us. That ought to be us. We have so wronged God, we better be so glad he can show us mercy, and it's only because of Jesus Christ, mercy and truth. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. You see, Solomon's son Rehoboam did not understand mercy and truth. He thought the way you reign is you reign with whips and scorpions, you reign with a strong hand, and you beat the people into submission. God says, mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. He doesn't eliminate justice, but we ought to be merciful people. We ought to be kind people. We ought to be just people that we are so ready to forgive. We're so ready to love. We're so ready to put it behind us. We're so ready to restore mercy and truth. Key to relationships. Isn't that what it says? He says this, if we just have mercy and say, you know, it's okay. It's okay. No big deal. Key to life. Key to life is in verses 5 to 8. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. For the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Key to life is trusting the Lord and not ourselves. Trusting the Lord and not ourselves. Ran into another guy tonight. He goes, oh, well, that's just kind of your opinion, and, you know, we have a Bible that wasn't intended to be given to us. And I said, well, that's because that's a pathetic God then. I want nothing to do with him. If he can't preserve a book, he's a loser. And we already talked about sin, and he goes, no, no, no. He didn't say it that way, but in my mind. He said, oh, no. He said it's because of sin. You know, he's jumping on the bandwagon of sin. He said sin is what has destroyed the Bible from what God intended. And I said, well, your problem is you think God's a servant to man and that man's sin can trump God's promises. He promised to preserve his word, and if sin caused his promise to be null and void, he's a liar, pathetic, weak, and I want nothing to do with him again. You understand this? It's so important for you. I want you to be honest. Do you believe that the Bible we have today in the Hebrew and the Greek is the perfect word of God as given by God? If it's not, and we can't find it, we don't know where it is, then God lied. He didn't lie. It's a foundational thing that is being attacked today. How can you trust in the Lord if his words aren't trustworthy? How do you know if you're trusting in him and not some kook's opinion? Right? I want you to be scholarly about it. I want you to understand it. But I want to tell you this. You've heard this before. I'm so simple. God's got a Bible out there in the Hebrew and Greek that's perfect. And God has his kind of church out there. Those are kind of two important things for me. I want to have a Bible that's translated from the perfect word of God, and I want to have a church that is the kind of church that Jesus established. That those are two important things, and I believe in both of those because he promised them. I don't want to, you know, we don't have to have a, you know, spitting contest about it, but it's, I want you to understand this. We can trust the Lord. It's going to be the attack. If the Bible isn't trustworthy, how can you know whether you're trusting in yourself or the Bible? You see, I dealt with this guy tonight. He kept telling me, he said, well, I just don't do it the way you do it. I said, well, eternity's kind of a big deal. I said, because they're wrong. And he goes, how do you know that? And I talked about Muslims and Hindus, and we love Muslims and Hindus. We want to reach them for Christ because the Bible says so. The Muslims deny that Jesus is the ever-existing God. They deny the resurrection. And so you know what? They deny that he is the one that will remove your sins. They don't believe in the true gospel. You know what it says in Galatians? Let them be accursed. And they will be accursed if that's what they believe. We don't hate Muslims, but I'll tell you this. I hate what they're being taught. Jesus looked at the false religious leaders and said, no greater damnation hath no one but you. And false religious leaders fall in the same place today. We need to do it lovingly and kindly, but I'll tell you, how do I know that Muslims are wrong? Because the Bible tells me so. It's not Steve's opinion, it's the Bible. And he said, well, you know, I just believe in positivity, and I don't want to go out and confront people like you. I said, well, so he was breathing tonight. Not a lot of people answered in this hot night. And so I overstayed my welcome. I've probably moved on faster. But let me ask you, when God tells us to go and teach, and you don't go and teach, what's that called? It's a disobedience, sin. I said, so you're not doing what he said to do. And then he goes, well, how do we know that's... Well, the problem is you don't believe in a God that could preserve a book. And so when you aren't doing what it says, you're going to trust in your own thoughts. It's something you need to wrestle with. Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe you? If you pursue your thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God, life isn't going to go the way you're dreaming about. And if all you want is money, you can probably get it. If you really are diligent and you want to be rich, you can be rich. But the Bible speaks of that. It's not something to really pursue because it will be a curse to you. But if you want to be rich and you want to work at it, you can be. I'm not sure what you get. We need Christ. We need to pursue Him and abide in Him. We need His Word. We need to be obsessed with it. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to know what He says. I tell you this to say, it pains me when people come to me after they've refused to listen, and I need to have mercy. We need to have mercy. We need to love them. You choose to do things other than what the Bible says, you're going to get burnt. You're not smarter than God. And it's not Him striking out on you. It's the consequences. Look at verse 5. Let's just walk through these verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. It really doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. We need to be obsessed with every single thing. Is this honoring Christ? Is this honoring the Lord? In everything we do. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. It doesn't say in most things. It doesn't say on Sunday acknowledge Him. It says in all thy ways acknowledge Him. What job you take, where you live, what house you buy, what car you buy, everything in life, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Who do you want to direct your paths? You? We go get counsel and advice and wisdom from others, but God says this, you trust in Me. You trust in Me. You acknowledge Me. I'll direct your paths. So, trusting the Lord, He'll direct our paths. I want you to see this. Look at verse 7. He says, be not wise in thine own conceit. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Remember, fearing the Lord, one of the closest things that the Bible, when it talks about fearing the Lord, is we will sin less, we will depart from evil. Look at verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel. I'm just curious. Do we have any Audis here? I don't know how you spell it. It's not A-U-D, not I'm talking about cars, but I'm an innie, if you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, we got Altis and we got Innies, right? I've never met an Audi before. Any Audis here? We got one right there. Okay. Anyway. All right. So, all right. I'll see you in a swimming pool near us. And I'll be like, oh, wow, there it is. And so I'm worried I could become an outie in my later years. That's why I suck it in, right? And so I swing, oh, I'm an outie. But what causes it? Buddy. Oh, it's a hernia. Oh, there you go. Okay, nobody wants to raise your hand and say, I've had a hernia at birth. And so, but, so then you think of this. He says, it will be health to thy navel. What does that mean? Understand that it's nourishment. It is cool. I got to, you know, and many of you guys have, you know, got to clip the old umbilical cord, and then, you know, they cut it. That dude is a little bit more rubbery than I thought. You know, I think they gave me like these play school scissors too, right? It was like, you know, it's just like, it wasn't cutting. Anybody else have that problem? They need some real scissors. I guess they didn't want to give me real scissors because maybe I could do other damage, but it was like, anyway, enough said. But so, you know, you clip the umbilical cord, and all of a sudden the baby, they're going to breathe this way, or they're in trouble, and all of a sudden, one of the best sounds you could ever hear. The umbilical cord, it'll be health to your navel. It'll be nourishment. It will be dependent on the right one. If we trust in the Lord, He will sustain us. He will provide us. We've left the complete dependence of our mothers. And now, if we trust in the Lord, we can have complete dependence on Him, and it'll be health to our navel. He's talking about just, and I know it's the innermost part of us, all the organs and all that, but it's just in a neat thought. And he says, it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Amazing. Centuries later, millennia later, we now treat people with cancer with bone marrow. Huh. God said, the bone marrow is kind of important, and here's what he said. Let me tell you, you want some good bone marrow? What do you think, Mike? What do you think the key is to good bone marrow? That's what God says, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into that understanding. And when they cut your bones open, they'll be like, this guy believed the Bible. I'm telling you, you know how they have these CT exams, you know, with all these NFL players and their brains and all this, and I just saw something else, you know, they're like, you donate your brain, it'll help science. And they get mine, and they're like, nope. And so, but, you know, they said that, right? But this would be so interesting. I'll guarantee you there's science in this. You think I'm making this up? You show me a dedicated believer of Jesus Christ, and you show me somebody that wanted nothing to do with God. You examine the bone marrow, I'll guarantee you there's a difference. Oh, you don't think God was dead serious about that? I do. Oh, I think there's spiritual connotations beyond that as well. I'll guarantee you the bone marrow is better for someone that trusts in the Lord with all thine heart. You don't think so? I'm not saying they won't get cancer. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just telling you this. What's crazy, we are so focused on the old body. You want good health? Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible said, bodily exercise profiteth little. It's good. Just a little, teeny weeny. Godliness is profitable unto all things. If you don't have time, if you have to make a choice between working out physically and getting in God's Word, and I mean I'm talking meaningfully, chuck the weights. I think you can do it all. We have way more time than we admit. I'm not against it. I think exercise is good. It's kind of the glue to my body as I age. But it's this. It's God will direct our paths, and it's health. It's health. Hey, I think did my clicker work there, Todd? I think it did. Oh, okay, it did. I was going to say, wow, that was amazing that you weren't paying attention and still stayed right up there with me. It's good. I want you to, guys, the Bible's this practical. I want you to study verses 5 through 8, and if it doesn't tell, the key to life is trusting the Lord. I want to tell you, he deals with this, the key to material blessings. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I will tell you this. I don't think there's one person in this room that gives to the Lord that they feel like God's cheated them. You misunderstand this passage if you think, well, that means you're just going to be loaded. No, what it means is, he talks about this. He says, key to material blessings, honor God with our substance and our first fruits. I'm just walking you through the next verse. You cannot avoid that. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with thy first fruit. So since most of the world was agricultural, they would give the tithe of their crops. We give God the tithe of our first fruits. And so it is, you want never to worry. He says this, honor the Lord with all thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You'll be taken care of in good fashion. In all my life, I've seen that come true. Probably shouldn't say this, but I will. You guys get perked up when I say those things. It's A-okay. When one of our guys was passing out, and the guys didn't tell me this, I just heard this, so it wasn't the guys. One of our guys was passing out the little piece of paper, and he goes, oh, I can't afford to do that. You know what I tell you? Oh, you can't afford not to trust in the Lord, and not unto your own understanding. Not me. We all have those thoughts. I know it was, I praise the Lord. So if some of you didn't know, God's provided the commitments that we'll be able to move forward to the next stage. And that's not me to try to beat you up. I'm just telling you, are we going to pick and choose what we are going to obey from God? Are we going to say, I'll do that, not this. I'll do that, not this. I'll do that, not this. I'll do that. See how that works out if you have an employer and you go, tell you this, I'm 70% in, man, all right? I guarantee I'll be here Monday, Tuesday, most Thursdays, Wednesday and Friday, a little questionable. But when I'm here, I'm all in. See you later. Hey, boss, I want you to know this. I appreciate what you wanted me to do. These I agreed with. These I didn't. I decided not to do them. You honor an employer more than you honor God. You think God's an idiot. When I don't listen to God, I don't fear him, I don't believe him, I'm not going to do it, and I pick and choose what I'm going to follow, what I'm going to do, and you know what that's called? A fool. It's one of the worst things God could ever call us. Remember that with the rich man, thou fool? Tonight thy soul will be required of thee. I don't think there's, the only other thing is, you shall die in your sins. Maybe that's that's a lot bit worse. You know, I use the word dumb and stupid and probably not great for your kids. I use the Bible word, foolish just seems to be dumbed down today. It's, you know, call me stupid. All right. No, that's stupidity is what that was, right? There's a difference. There's a slight difference. I'm speaking to me. Do we believe God? If you know something's not right in your life and you're not doing what you know God would have you to do, why don't you do it? Sin. You don't think sin's that big a deal. You're like, you know, I'm not thinking of anybody. I just know this. There's people that need to be followed the Lord in just simple baptism. And I had it recently. It's been a long time since I was pressed this much against it. I backed off. So much so, I'm not sure if they're saved. I don't care about your personality. I'm struggling a little bit. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where they go, come on now, follow God, obey, follow Him in baptism. You ever see that? It's my life a lot of times. I want to encourage people to do what's right to help them. But I think I'm encouraging people to go to hell. That's what I think I'm encouraging them to do. I may be baptizing people that aren't saved. People should be running down that aisle going, I can't wait to obey Jesus. And they go, I won't do it because I'm smarter than God. That's just one example. I could bring up a million. It's not that big a deal, Steve. Tell that to God. That you don't evangelize, tell that to God. You're probably not saved. Now, that's super strong. You don't have a burden enough to tell people about Jesus Christ, ain't no way you're probably saved. I had a guy, had a Bible study with him this week, and I said, can you tell me how to be saved? He's telling me he was saved. And he said, no. I said, ain't no way you're a Christian. If you are saved, you would be able to tell me how I can be saved. I said, if you can't tell me how I can be saved, there's no way that you're saved. He goes, that makes sense. He goes, but you're making me nervous. I go, it's about time. I said, eternity's that big a deal. I said, I'm not trying to pressure you into anything. I said, the devil's been lying to you, and you're trying to convince yourself a Christian, and you couldn't tell me how to be a Christian? All he wants is just a religious feel-good system. I love you. I'm just, didn't mean to get this fired up. But it's, when will we, this visit I had, which was just, it epitomized the world, it epitomized me many times, Christians that say, I'm going to part-time obey God. I'm not all in, you know, I'm just going to part-time obey. If you're a Christian, here's what will happen. Chastisement is God loving us. Look at verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. God will chasten us. You know, you got to love the Bible. Got to love this Bible. Here's what it says. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. If you didn't know what the chastening of the Lord was, just read the next phrase. Neither be weary of his correction. You would know then right away, well, chastening must be correction. Chastening must be correction of the Lord. He says, don't despise it. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it's grievous, right? He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Somebody asked me this week, they said, are you telling me that you believe there's people at Hope Baptist Church that are going to hell? And I said, I'm concerned half of them are. I don't name names. I'm concerned half of them are. They can let people go to hell. It's what they're comfortable with. And he said, I can't believe that. I said, the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know. And I said, coming to church is a teeny-weeny fruit. It's a fruit. But do you love Jesus Christ? What is the evidence in your own life that you love Jesus Christ? What is it? Do you love him, or you just want Jesus as the good luck charm hanging off your belt so you don't have problems? when you read the Bible, you help me understand. Real Christians get it. Fake ones don't. I only tell you that. Where's the chastening of God? Then I hear people say, well, God's not spanking me for that, so you must be wrong, Steve. Well, maybe you're not his child. He doesn't chasten those who are not his children. It comes down to this. This is so important. I want you to be encouraged. I know. You should be so stirred. Prove to yourself that you're his. Get to know the Bible. You should have one goal. I should have one goal, to know him and to know Christ. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is through his word, not my opinion. I want to know the Bible. I want to follow it, not as a set of rules, but I want to honor Christ. And the amazing thing is, everything I want is by trusting in him, by following him, by believing what he said is true. And that's that. Everything I want is by just listening to him and saying, you're right. That's the truth. Doesn't mean I won't get cancer. I'm going to die. Doesn't mean my eyesight's coming back. I'm going to die. I'll tell you this, though, whatever happens, God is good. He is wonderful. And when I listen to him, he is always right. And when I don't, he's always right. Exercising wisdom leads to this. Look at this, verse 13. And I'll finish when we get to 8:30. So we got 8, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. Let's see, is that clock right? Oh, you stinks. I thought I was a little fast on me there. Yeah, yeah, okay, all right. I got a little bit more time. Let's take a break here from me hurrying too fast. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Look at verse 18. She, wisdom, is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Just think about this. Think about this. Wisdom from God. Wisdom is Christ. Instruction from God. His laws. His commandments. When we follow his ways, when we follow him, every single person in this room would say, yeah, happiness will be the result. Why are most Christians not happy? Because they're not doing what God has told them to do. God is not striking out on you with unhappy pills. He's like, you're going to be unhappy. It's that you don't listen to God. Don't expect to have the blessings. Happiness is misunderstood. I watch it. I don't always tell everybody everything. I never want to be a guy that says, I told you so. There's no joy in that. What I want is I want the Lord to say, I told you so before you do it, and I listened. That's glory. Is that not good? We need help. Are you desperate enough to get help? Are you desperate enough to say, I'm so tired of mediocre Christianity. I'm so tired of not trusting the Lord, that you'll humble yourself and you'll find men with men, women with women, and say, I need help, and then you better be diligent. A lot of people that meet with me, they want me to work harder than they work. I'm not. They don't want to do anything. What they find is I don't meet with them. It just happens. I'm a therapist to a lot. They'll just meet with me because it makes them feel better. They don't do the things of God. I'm not going to meet with them that long. I'll meet with a lost person longer than I will someone that claims to be saved. Someone that claims to be saved and refuses to do what's right, I have to make choices. It's exercising wisdom leads to happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. Listen to God. It's one thing to know wisdom. It's another thing to live wisdom. You follow me? It's one thing to know what is the right thing to do. It's another thing to do it. See this in verse 16? Look at verse. Let's walk to verse for the merchandise of it. It's the value of it. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. I don't know how many Christians there are that, if they were honest, we would all choose silver and gold above wisdom, because that's what we value. She is more precious than rubies. And all things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Look at verse 16. We've talked of this. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. I mean, here's the crazy thing. Riches and honor. That's in verse 16. Riches and honor. God is not opposed to you having riches and honor. That's just not the focus. You don't get riches and honor by pursuing riches and honor. You get riches and honor by pursuing God, pursuing Him, pursuing Christ, and pursuing wisdom. And if God so chooses to put on you riches and honor, like He did Solomon, then be a good steward and be trustworthy. I just don't think we ought to pursue it. We ought to pursue Christ, pursue God, pursue wisdom, pursue knowing Him. This ought to be the treasure that we seek. I told you this is going to be the hardest part of my pastorate. And I don't want to be a cranky pastor now. I'm fired up a little bit. Foolishness. There's not a week goes by, people in our midst not listening to God. Foolishness. And I need to be merciful, loving, but I can't fix their problem. You don't listen to God and it blows up in your face, your face isn't getting fixed. It's not. God didn't strike out on you. It's the consequence of not listening to Him. The devil's flashy. What you should do if it blows up in your face, repent, get right with God, and pursue wisdom. Pursue Christ. It's not worth it. It'll never work out. Never has. Never will. God is everything. That's the truth of God's word. Look at this. Look at verse 17. Look at this. Her ways, wisdom's ways, are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Pleasantness and peace. Look at this. Happiness, length of days, riches and honor, pleasantness and peace. It's by following the ways of God. It's by following His ways. It's by listening to Him. Look at this. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. I want you to look at it. It's really interesting. Wisdom was the foundation of creation. That's why it's so insulting when people will credit evolution. And it's evil if Christians say God created all things through evolution, because it requires death before sin, and you're just telling me that the Bible really, you know, it's just an allegory. No, it's literal, unless it says otherwise. It's wisdom. Look at verse 19 and 20. He says this, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." It's so fascinating. Do you know in the Great Tribulation the winds will stop? Did you know that? The angels from the four corners. I know. There's no corners of the earth. Okay. Be nice. I was about to say dummy dum dum. It's north, south, east, and west. How about that? He stopped the northern winds, the southern winds, the western winds, the eastern winds. You should Google. What happens if there's no wind? What happens when the stars begin to fall and the moon gets all out of and the tides aren't regulated anymore? It's fascinating. You're fascinated. You're like, why did that water stop there? Then you're walking on the beach, you're like, oh, it decided to go further. Is it the moon? I don't know. Everything's going to be out of whack. Why is it all going to go out of whack? Sin and the judgment of God will come upon the earth. It's this. He established everything by wisdom, and everything is in Christ. I'm going to stop there for sake of time. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at anybody. I want to help anybody. I want to help everybody. There's nobody that I won't try to help. Now, you might not like my help because I might be honest with you, right? I might just say, whoa, you know? And then I'll say, well, tell me, you might not like my delivery, but you know why I would tell you that? Because I want to help you. I didn't wake up today and go, let me be a jerk. I'm just super passionate about this. You want to wander from God? The result will not be good. You want to just go test the world? The result won't be good. You want to just pick and choose what you obey? You won't have the abundant life. You won't experience the nectar, the joy. Proverbs 3 seems foreign, I think, to most Christians. Pleasantness, peace. Everything I need, I have. Right? I mean, just good health. You know, it's like, I don't know, Steve. It's not God under delivering. It's us under obeying. And maybe we're not saved. He'll chasten us if we're saved. He loves us that much. If you just leave with one thing, this is where truth comes from. Get to know it. It's not that tough. The problem is, most will leave this room tonight and go, you won't disagree with anything I said. Maybe the spirit that I said it, and I apologize if it was across the line. I care, but you better express care better. And then all of a sudden, they'll come back broken, a mess. And they think I can put him back together again. All little nursery rhymes have a truth. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty, you know, it's like this. You don't want to listen to God. You fall off the wall and you're all broken. It's probably going to last the rest of your life. The choices you make now may affect you the rest of your life, and it's not God punishing you. What will you do? Will you then get right with God, not to fix your problems, but because he is worthy, and I just want to serve him now, even if it's broken? You understand this? People only are interested, generally speaking, in Christianity for what it can do for them, not how we can love God. Come back, Humpty Dumpty, if you fell off the wall. But we probably can't fix the brokenness, but we can help you pursue Christ from that point on. Life's full of choices. If you pray for me, pray, oh God, help Pastor Steve practice what he preaches, that all I want is wisdom. Wisdom. All I want is Christ. Let's pray.